You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven.
Good morning, football fans. Coming to you live from the cave. This is Teddy the Bear Tate. Alongside me here is Dallas McGee Duclo. If you were joining us right now, Facebook Live, we do apologize. We didn't have it up and running there, but we've got her up now.
We were fawning over the draft class.
Yes, we were busy looking at draft stuff, so don't worry about that. We're just getting ready for you guys, of course. Last minute things. Good morning, Josh Brown. Glad you could join us. Please like and share the video. Big D.
Yes.
Big draft class. Great
big
draft.
Big draft class. And great, you know what? It was just like I said, Ed. Just like I said.
Yeah.
Teams, they didn't get blinded by the magic of the draft this year. A lot of them, they did exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah.
Should have done.
They got
after the needs.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk about some of the teams that really knocked it out of the park and some of the teams that, not really so sure what exactly you were thinking when you got in the draft, but it's okay.
Yeah. You never know. We could be wrong.
I won't be, but, you know.
All the new listeners will know, because our page is growing and we're growing, this show has a no politics, non-bias, no BS filter.
Yep.
We don't sugarcoat opinions on topic, but we don't allow any profanity. We've got to keep clean for the kids, guys. But we guys want you to be a part of the conversation, so please dial 718-508-9883 or like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on any social media outlet, iTunes, Spreaker,
Google Play, Stitcher.
We're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Before we get started, Big D, of course, shout out to Totally Driven, VCG Sports, Takeover Sports Media, and of course NFL.com. And one more time, guys, that call-in number
718.
Yep, 508-983. Big D, I do believe you know what time it is.
Yes, I do.
It's time.
It's your favorite time, Ted. This is your favorite time. And when the
we get to hear that every single Sunday, pretty soon. Every single Sunday. Well, we hear it every single
Sunday. We do, but, I mean, we'll get to hear it multiple times. That's really what it's about.
Well, don't forget Thanksgiving. That's, like, my favorite day.
What, for football?
No, food.
Oh.
but football, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's always.
But mostly food.
What?
I keep it honest, man.
I know. I know you do.
Daddy likes to eat, okay?
Yeah. So, anyways, NFL buzz. We're going to start off with my team. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers have picked up Bud Dupree's fifth-year option. Good.
I like it.
Yeah,
it's all right. It's good. The real thing, though, they traded Martavis Bryant to the Raiders for their third-round pick there.
Yes. And I got to be honest here. I actually don't mind the trade. I was reading into that a little bit with Martavis Bryant. He wanted to leave for one. Two, the Steelers were, you know, getting calls all offseason. They weren't trying to, like, they weren't shopping him around. People were just calling about him, and they were sending out offers. And then the Raiders gave them the best offer, and they decided to take it with a third-round draft pick. I know
there was some salt there. Some people were like, we didn't get very much out of this. But, you know, I mean, in a pretty stout draft class this year.
Well,
draft picks kind of add up.
Well, and not to mention, last year, his rookie year, he was phenomenal. The year after, he was gone.
Yeah.
He had a suspension because of the marijuana thing.
Yeah.
And this last year, he only had 50 receptions for like 603 yards and one touchdown. That's not a stud wide receiver. So for us to get a third-round pick out of it, I'm happy with it because he would have been a free agent after this year anyways.
We got nothing out of it.
Yeah, so we got something for nothing. I'm happy with it. I really am. The Steelers have wished him well. We obviously wish him well.
Ted, what with the we've talked about this before, but with organizations like the Steelers and the Packers, I mean, you can't have any drop. We're not even just them. I mean, you look at some of these organizations. I mean, the Titans, the Steelers, the Packers, Houston. I mean, they just don't tolerate any kind of drama, field issues, anything like that. They just don't put up with it.
Yeah, the Steelers are definitely a team that does not put up with off the field issues. It looks like now Martavis Bryant looks to be the new Plaxico Burress 2.0, if you will.
Yeah.
Freakish athlete, had an amazing upside. Couldn't
trouble all the time.
Couldn't stay out of trouble. We got rid of him. So it happens.
Philadelphia Eagles have restructured offensive guard Brandon Brooks' contract, and we'll save a little over $5 million, right?
Yeah.
That's a little bit of chatter there, Ted.
Yeah,
A little bit of cheese. A little bang for your buck there, Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
They do need some cap space help.
Yeah, they do. The Arizona Cardinals have signed pass rusher Benson Mayowa to a one-year deal.
Yeah.
It was on the Cowboys last year. The Arizona Cardinals have also picked up offensive tackle DJ Humphreys, fifth-year option.
Oh, they better do something. That offensive line needs a lot of help.
Yep. I mean, you got to protect your investment. I mean, besides Sam Bradford, they're throwing him $20 million, but Josh Rosen, the future investment, they've got to worry about him now. We'll get to that.
The Oakland Raiders have signed cornerback Daryl Worley 1 week after being out, being cut out by the Eagles for being arrested.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what – I mean – can he play from? I mean, do you get to play from jail? I mean, does that happen? Come back to your cell at the end of the game or what?
You know, it is what it is. There, the Oakland Raiders are a team that aren't afraid of getting trouble players. Daryl Worley. Yeah.
Well, one thing is for sure, Gruden won't put up with very much.
Well,
I wouldn't think.
This is his third team in a couple months now, so we'll have to see what happens. The LA Chargers wide receiver Tyrell Williams has signed a exclusive tender and will remain with the team.
Good.
You know, the Chargers are a team that arguably has one of the best receiving cores in the league. You know, Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, and then Travis Benjamin leading that group. I mean, that, you know, to me, making sure you have the guys there and the pieces there for Phillip Rivers to throw to, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a team. You know, the thing about the Chargers is this is a team that they seem like they're always on the cusp of being a contender.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sad to me. It's kind of a shame because Phillip Rivers has put in some great years for them, put up great numbers for them, and you just kind of have to shake your head.
Oh, yeah. The LA Rams, we're going from one LA team to the next LA team. LA Rams have picked up the fifth-year option for running back Todd Gurley and cornerback Marcus Peters.
How about that? Yeah. Rams trying to keep that young core alive over there.
Yeah, no kidding. The Miami Dolphins have picked up Devontae Parker's fifth-year option, making sure they keep one of their wide receivers.
They better keep something. They've lost a whole lot.
Yeah.
So the Atlanta Falcons picked up Vic Beasley's fifth-year option. A lot of options been picked up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of teams trying to make sure they keep their core players, you know, and it's a big deal. Speaking of core players, though, the Carolina Panthers have extended tight end Greg Olsen to a two-year deal worth $17.1 million. I think it was after his incentives, it's up to like 20-some million.
Yeah. Well, you know, Greg, he's been a fixture in the NFL for a little bit now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tight end position's a pretty tough position to play.
Jason Witten, another tight end here, is expected to retire after 15 seasons with the Dallas Cowboys, and Witten is the front runner to win the Monday Night Football job with ESPN.
You know, Jason Witten, you talk about guys that have been a fixture in the NFL. You think about all the big games Witten's been in, the big catches. A guy that, you know, Cowboy fans have fawned over for years. I mean, he was there when they had Romo. He was there for part of the time they had Bledsoe, I believe. You know, he's been there. He's been with the team in the good times, the bad times. He's been the guy, the go-to, the safety valve, if you will, and he's been sort of what you want to get out of a tight end, really.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked with, you know, we had Gary Bonnager on the show the one time, and he said that was one of the guys he looked up to, you know, Jason Witten and Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about great tight ends in the NFL, I mean, you know, off the top of your head, right off the bat, you think about Jason Witten, Tony Gonzalez, pretty much.
Absolutely. The San Francisco 49ers have traded offensive tackle Trent Brown and pick 143 to the New England Patriots for pick 95. Obviously, we'll get to who they picked up later on in the offseason, but that was the trade that was made. Also, the 49ers have extended safety Jaquiski Tartt to a two-year deal. And, of course, Big D, this one's going to be near and dear to your heart.
Oh.
Quarterback Jay Cutler is expected to retire yet again and
Good.
Be on Fox reality TV show with his wife.
Listen, Jay, don't call, don't write, stay out of the NFL. Good job, man. You have as many reality shows as you want, because the reality is you are a terrible quarterback.
Jay, you can call it. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll have you on the show. The Seattle Seahawks have re-signed, not resigned, have re-signed Byron Maxwell to a one-year deal worth $3 million.
That's not unexpected, though.
No, I know.
We saw that come. Arizona Cardinals former head coach Bruce Arians is expected to join the NFL on CBS as an analyst. And good for him.
I mean, it's definitely worth having him on there. He is an offensive-minded coach. He's a master when it comes to good offenses. I mean, you look at what helping the Steelers in the Super Bowl and what he did with Arizona in an aging Carson Palmer. You know, kudos to him. He, you know, obviously football is always going to be with him. And you know, can't wait to see him on Sundays.
One of the more beloved coaches in the NFL, too.
Oh,
nobody ever really has anything bad to say about Bruce.
Yeah.
So that's good.
The Oakland Raiders have reworked center Rodney Hudson's contract and have saved $5.66 million. Again, save more cap space.
Get that cheddar. Get that cheddar.
We talked about the LA Rams earlier, but they have traded wide receiver Tavon Austin to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for pick 192. The Dallas Cowboys have traded wide receiver Ryan Switzer to the Oakland Raiders. So, I mean, there we go. Exchange, get one receiver, exchange it for another. Good morning, Alex. Glad to have you on the show, man. You know, to me, the Cowboys are making some moves here, you know, changing the offense. And I heard the Cowboys are wanting to make – they look at Tavon Austin as a running back, not a wide receiver.
Yeah, you know, I think the Cowboys are right to treat Tavon Austin like that. You know, he's run the option offense with West Virginia when he was in school. He ran out of the backfield a lot. And he's good at catching passes out of the backfield. So I think this is more of a depth pick up for the Cowboys. You know, maybe some special teams help.
Right.
Tavon Austin, really good special teams guy.
Well, and he's a fast player, too.
Very quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this good pickup.
I like it a lot as well. The Eagles have re-signed running back Darren Sproles. Makes sense keeping your savvy veteran player there.
We'll get to how the Browns did, Alex, in a little bit.
I mean,
everybody was asking. I knew that was going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
How the Browns do?
So, real quick, before we get started on the NFL draft recap, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, a couple minutes here. But don't worry, Facebook, if you guys are with us, stay with us. We are going to talk to you guys one-on-one, and we'll answer some questions that you guys have and then go back live. So with that, Big D. Like I said, time to take a commercial break. Proud new sponsor of Totally Driven Entertainment. He's funny, he's wacky, he's crazy, and he is totally driven. Please check out ChrisBraleyPresents.com.
I'm Black Man, saving man's eyes, one stereotype at a time. To the Black Mother. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
All right, guys, sorry about that. We are back. Just answering Alex's question real quick, and really just a real quick overcap as far as how the Browns did. I think the Browns did okay this draft. I think the highlights are obviously Baker Mayfield and then getting Denzel Ward. And real quick, we talked about Denzel Ward. A lot of people were expecting Bradley Chubb to go there. And with Bradley Chubb – or with the Browns, the cornerback was the biggest position of need on that team. And once Joe Hayden left, that team's pass defense was atrocious pretty much. So Denzel Ward is going to be a starter pretty much right away. I've got to say, it wasn't what the pick everybody expected, but it's the pick that they needed, that's for sure. They obviously couldn't trade down, or they didn't find a deal that they liked. So
one thing I will say, not enough people are talking about this pick, is the pickup of Chad Thomas by the Browns.
Uh-huh.
I don't think enough people are talking about this pick. This guy, not only was he tremendous, but he piled up 26 TFLs
yeah.
in his last season.
Yeah.
This is a guy that knows how to get in the backfield. And we talked about this before the draft. There was a lot of depth in the defensive line positions this year in the draft. And the fact that the Browns went right out of the gate and said, we're going to get our quarterback in the future, picked up Tyrod Taylor, we're going to get the quarterback. Now we're going to address our weakness at corner. We're going to shore up the offensive line. Very conservative draft, I think, for the Browns, but I think that's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with the way that they drafted. I would have liked to have seen them get, I think, a more dynamic running back,
uh-huh.
somebody that was more like a Duke Johnson, so they could have tandem backs doing that.
Uh-huh.
I think it would have been interesting.
Well, I think that's the whole reason why they didn't do that, was because of Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the best player on that offense last year.
But I have to say, you look at the picks for the Browns, you know, can't be too disappointed.
No, I mean, that round three with Chad Thomas was a good value pick there, and I agree with you, Big D, but I think the best value here, bang for your buck,
yeah.
especially if he pans out, is Antonio Callaway, wide receiver out of Florida.
Yeah.
Everybody talked about him having the first-round talent that he, you know, that's what he is a first-round talent. Problem is his off-the-field issues, and I actually watched yesterday when they drafted Antonio Callaway, and the NFL panel went right to Ian Rappaport, and they wanted to hear more about this. And he came out and said Antonio Callaway has come out and talked. He smoked marijuana 2 weeks before the combine, before his combine test.
So
hello, come on now. Like, he was open. He openly admitted it.
I guess.
So obviously they've got another Josh Gordon-esque player. First round talent.
So one thing we can tell you guys is that along with Josh Gordon not playing, Antonio Callaway will probably not play also. So the good news is you'll have two good receivers. Bad news is they won't play.
You won't ever see him.
Yeah, you won't ever see him.
No, but I think what this says here is they're not afraid to get these players with the whole marijuana thing and try to get their act cleaned up. And I think I'm okay with this.
Another,
I really am.
Another pick I think, really value pick I think for the Browns is Damian Ratley,
uh-huh.
Texas A&M wide receiver. You know, he averaged 23 yards a catch.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good deep threat.
Good deep threat, and I think the Browns needed to add a little bit of help there. Need another dynamic receiver. I mean, they've got Corey Coleman.
Right.
They got Josh Gordon when he's allowed to play.
Right.
But, you know, you can never have too many weapons, especially when you're going to have a new quarterback coming in, you know, and you're grooming him for the position. You got Tyrod Taylor. So.
Well, and that's the whole reason with Antonio Callaway. Antonio Callaway was arguably the most dynamic receiver in this draft, and the only problem was his off-the-field problems.
Yep.
And for them to get him, it makes a ton of sense to me. But just like last year, they got Caleb Brantley back in the sixth round. One of the he was regarded as a first-round talent. Got him in the sixth round. That's great value there. You're not out much. Same thing with Antonio Callaway.
If it doesn't pan out, you know, it's fourth rounder, sixth rounder. You know, that's good news with that.
Yeah, the Browns are making made some good acquisitions.
Making good decisions.
Yeah. Check the panel real quick, Big D. Somebody should be calling in here pretty quick.
Nobody
called in yet. Okay. Just waiting on Awesome Austin to call. He said he's going to be calling in very, very soon. All right, guys. So now, it's not going to be a very long show today. We do have Alex Carrington calling in today, or supposed to be calling in at around 10 a.m., so here in about a half hour. So while we're waiting, we're going to do NFL draft recap. Selections we liked or disliked, or who was a slide, who was a steal, what teams did good. Now, the thing is the next from here on out, the Sundays after, we're going to be doing two teams. And if you look at the first round, that's how we're going to do the teams. So the first two – so next Sunday, we'll be talking about the Browns and Giants picks in depth a little bit more, and we're going to give them our draft grade. So we're going to do that for each team throughout the offseason. So about, 16 weeks,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And like I said, we spend time on these two teams for that weekend, or that Sunday, if you will. So look, if you guys want to hear more about the Browns and the Giants draft next week, we're going to be talking about them, okay? Big D, a selection, your favorite selection out of all of them could be your team, any other team, your favorite selection in this draft class.
My favorite selection in this draft class, that's tough. I think out of all the picks in this draft, I think, and this might surprise you, but I think my favorite pick in this whole draft was Mike McGlinchey by the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
They just signed the massive contract to Jimmy Garoppolo, and their biggest need was offensive line.
Right.
And to get potentially the best offensive lineman in the draft, and for him to slide to the 9 spot for him, I think it's a win for the San Francisco 49ers. Out of all the picks, first round, it's not a sexy pick, but I'm okay with that. I think that's my favorite pick in the draft because it's not only addressed the need, but it shows that the San Francisco 49ers are pretty serious about protecting their investment.
Yeah, I'll be honest here. I think my favorite pick out of all of them is Saquon Barkley. It has to be. For me, seeing them get having a run game again, or potentially having a run game again, just excites me. They've got Eli Manning throwing the ball. They've got Barkley at running back. They've got Odell Beckham. They've got Sterling Shepard. They've got Evan Ingram. This offense is complete except for the offensive line, which, again, we'll talk about their draft next week. But as far as the Giants as a whole, I got to be excited here. This brings a whole new level to the Giants. And, of course, they did address the offensive line with Wilmer. I know that. But so, like I said, we'll get to it next week. But Saquon Barkley, my favorite. To you, who was the best value pick?
Wow, that's tough. You know, if I had to go value pick, let me slip over here to the later rounds here. Get in here. As far as value pick, I think I got to slip down here into the third round.
Okay.
And I'm looking here in the third round. This to me, Ted, you might not like this, but I like this pick a lot.
Okay.
You look at the Cowboys, and you look at all the not that round. We get that's the wrong round here. You look at the Cowboys, and a season ago, their defense really started to step it up, but they seem to just be missing one other guy, right? You know, right. They seem to be missing that guy that could get it done. I like this pick, Dorrance Armstrong Jr. I talked about him before the draft.
You and Reggie together.
I talked about Dorrance Armstrong Jr. with Reggie Walker when he called in as well. Dorrance is one of those guys who he flew under the radar because of where he played.
Sure.
But the Cowboys, they were paying attention, and I think this is really going to merit them. Look, you look at the fact that they had Lawrence rushing and doing what he did for the Cowboys defense.
Right.
Now he's got a tag team partner to get back there and get after quarterbacks. This is solid pickup, good value,
yeah.
Tough guy, stays healthy, works out all the time. This guy's an animal.
Well, and the thing is for me with Armstrong, and I like your pick because I think that's a good value pick, is they drafted Taco Charlton last year in the first round. They didn't spend another high draft pick on the defensive end or a pass rusher. So what they did was is they said, look, we got another good guy that's going to come in here and bring it. You better step up your game or you're going to be gone.
Yeah.
You know,
and,
first
and
round
I,
or not.
And I really like that. I like the fact that, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, he only played at Kansas. You know, he wouldn't be a number one pick anyway. Yeah,
right.
But you know what? You look at what the Cowboys needed.
Right.
And you look at where they got this guy and his abilities, his talent to get after quarterbacks and
right.
stop the run because he's plug and played along the defensive line for them.
Right.
It's a solid pickup for the Cowboys.
Now, as far as value picks for me, I have to say, Big D, my favorite value pick in this draft came in round five.
Oh, round five.
Round five. Okay.
He was
a first round talent. Okay. But he had a heart condition. I'm talking about the University of Michigan, Maurice Hurst. Yes, that is right. This is an Ohio State Buckeye fan talking about a Michigan Wolverine
going
to the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. The Raiders needed a DT. They had originally they had Maurice Hurst going to the Raiders. Gruden loves this kid. And then he fell all the way down to the fifth. They still get him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got a heart condition to worry about. They got to monitor that. Slam dunk.
Fairly had a heart condition.
Yeah.
He did pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, there's been several players that have had that. You know, and it, to me, Gruden, slam dunk. I mean, he's just showing you why he's a heck of a head coach and why they're paying him so much money. Austin Thomas is on the line with us. Austin, I know you and I both like Maurice Hurst, but is there another good value pick that you like in this draft?
Well, no good morning or anything.
Do what? What was that? You got to talk a little louder there, Austin.
I said no good morning or anything.
Hey, good morning, buddy. Sorry about that. Calling in late. There's no good morning for late.
Right.
No, we love you, man. Good morning.
I do.
Is he there?
Austin, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here. What's the question? I can't. You guys are talking soft.
Oh, yeah. The question is, I was talking about Maurice Hurst. We're talking about best value picks in the draft. And Big D gave Armstrong the Cowboys defensive end now. I gave out Maurice Hurst, the Oakland Raiders D tackle. I know you and I both like Hurst, but is there another value pick that you see here in this draft that you just absolutely love?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of value picks in this draft, up and down the board. I mean, you could honestly go to every team and say, man, that is a great pick for them. But, you know, for me, one guy that I really like that I was surprised he fell this late, and I think it's going to help their team a lot, is Auden Tate, Florida State receiver.
Yeah.
He went to the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, AJ Green, he's the only guy. He's really the only receiver. They drafted John Ross last year. He's been kind of a bust. They really have no one else outside of AJ Green. So Auden Tate, you know, if he can get his shoulder issue under control, he can be a force to reckon with for them.
Yeah.
I don't want to step forward a little bit, but, you know, the Texans, their first – let me see. I'm looking at their thing right now. Their first couple of picks, Justin Reed, Martinez Rankins. I mean, they didn't start picking until the third round, and they get two great guys that were – you know, first, second round draft picks. So I commend them as well.
I got to be honest here, Austin. I'm glad you brought up Auden Tate because Auden Tate, like you said, AJ Green is the number one guy there. But Auden Tate, he's another big receiver that they could definitely use. And he was a pretty quick receiver himself. So I love the Auden Tate one. I got to be honest here. There's quite a few here. What about Jesse Bates?
I mean, he was a second rounder. I don't know if that was really a value pick, but I mean, I love it because he is a ball hawk. That's going to help them tremendously in the secondary. I like the pick, but he's kind of on the thinner side. He's a little frail, so I want to see him bulk up because, like we talked about with John Ross, he isn't quite NFC or AFC North football ready yet. So once he pounds on the muscles, then he'll be ready.
Yeah, no, we were just talking about the Bengals pick. That's why I mentioned Jesse Bates. But no, as far as value goes, there's a running back that I talked about that didn't get invited to the combine. And apparently he didn't need the NFL combine to get drafted in the fourth round. That's, of course, Ito Smith out of Southern Missouri. Very, very excited to see him play. And Austin, you and I talked yesterday. In all honesty, that has to mean Tevin Coleman's on the chopping block.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about Tevin being on the trade block last year. People thought he would really get traded around the deadline. Falcons decided to keep him for another year. We'll see what they do in this season. But Ito Smith, he's a very similar type of style. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tevin Smith gets traded.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as far as Tevin goes, the Falcons need to trade him. Like you said, he's going to be a free agent. It would just make more sense. Kind of like what the Steelers did with Martavis Bryant. Get what you can out of him. Yeah, move on. Big D, did you have another guy?
You know, there's another guy, Ted, and it's a big guy, that the Detroit Lions picked up in the later rounds. And this is a pretty late pick. And this is a fifth-round pick for the Lions. Now, offensive tackle Tyrell Crosby out of Oregon. This is a solid pickup for the Detroit Lions. They needed offensive line help. And you know what? This guy was projected to be the third best offensive lineman in this draft. He slipped to the fifth round, and the Lions said, yeah, we can't let that pass. It's a big boy. 6'5", 309 pounds, and he was part of one of the more prolific offenses the whole time he was in college. This is a guy that knows how to protect a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And pass block and run block. It's a slam dunk for the Lions if he stays healthy.
I've got another player, and I've actually been seeing some guys that were very upset with this pick. Because he's not a football player. He's a rugby player. And they were talking about how disrespectful it is to football players that are trying to get into the NFL and working so hard to do what they do and for him to get a shot. Let me tell you guys something. This guy that I'm about to mention has worked his butt off. He may not be for the NFL, but he's a heck of a rugby player. He does look good on video. He does. He's a big guy. I don't see why I see no problem with him trying to give it a shot in the NFL. I'm not surprised why teams are interested in him. I'm talking about the Philadelphia Eagles draft pick, Jordan Mulata, out of Sydney, Australia, 6'8", 346 pounds. I mean, come on now. Why wouldn't teams be interested in him? Awesome, Austin, what have you heard about Mulata's situation and what the Eagles plan is with him?
Well, first of all, I just want to say congrats to him. And anyone that doesn't like him, oh, my God. As soon as he got drafted, I called my wife into the room instantly. I'm like, oh, my God, babe, come look at this guy. And they showed his tape, and he's plowing over people in the rugby film. And this dude's just a monster. The dude's 6'7", 326 pounds. I don't know how you couldn't like this guy. I mean, they interviewed him after he got drafted. He's a funny guy. I mean, he's hilarious. He's great. He's a good athlete. I'm excited for him, but they haven't revealed too much. I mean, I know they list him as an offensive tackle. It makes sense because we all know Jason Peters, this is probably going to be his last year. They probably kick Lane Johnson out to the left, and then they need a right tackle. If this guy can develop into a tackle, he's going to be one of the fastest tackles and most athletic tackles, and that's what the Eagles like. So I wouldn't be surprised if they keep him at the tackle. But, you know, fullback, a tight end. I know Mike Mayock mentioned that he should be a tight end. But, you know, I feel like the Eagles are going to use his versatility quite nicely.
Yeah, I got to be honest here, Austin. I don't want to see him at tackle. I want to see him running the football. I do. I'm so bad.
Just put him in the fullback. Do it the fringe style.
Yeah.
But listen, go Perry. It's funny that Austin say this guy's a funny guy because you probably don't have much of a choice for him but to laugh at all of his jokes. I mean, the guy's 6'8", and he weighs over 300 pounds. Don't laugh at his jokes. You know, you better laugh. You can be the only guy in the locker room where everybody's like, I'm just the guy, the greatest guy on the team. I know he got drafted seventh, but, you know, this guy right here, he's something else. He's a god. Give him whatever he wants.
I got another selection that I'm actually okay with. If you guys are okay with me talking another one, it's actually from my team. I'm going to say Mason Rudolph. I'm actually pretty happy with this because this guy was considered a first- to second-round talent. And they didn't reach on him. They didn't go after that quarterback, the potential quarterback of the future. After, you know, once Big Ben leaves, they went and waited till the third round, stood up and got him. And I like I said, I am okay with this. Rudolph is talented. He will have a year or two to sit under Big Ben and learn and develop, which to me is the best scenario for the Steelers right now. Instead of getting a guy throwing him to the wolves, if you will, that's a good value for me. I like this pick. Austin, it sounded like you were going to say something about Rudolph.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, okay.
But I can though. I mean, yep. I like this guy coming out of college. I know Big D wasn't a big fan, but you know, he wasn't going to start day one. We all knew that. And being able to sit behind Big Ben, I can kind of see them being similar because Rudolph is more athletic than people give him credit for. He's a big boy. He's got a cannon for an arm. They drafted James Washington the round before him, so they obviously like that connection. So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be a good selection if he can stay with the team. He's clearly better than Landry Jones and Joshua Dobbs at this point. So, you know, I like the selection. We'll see what he does in a few years.
And I'm glad you mentioned Landry Jones. I got to believe that he's going to be on the chopping block now. I think he's going to be a free agent now.
And to your point of he's the franchise, quote-unquote, guy after Big Ben, you know, they've taken other guys like Landry Jones, Joshua Dobbs, and other people. You know, this one, this is just my opinion. Mason Rudolph, he feels like he is the potential future guy. The other guys were like, we'll see what we have in them. Hopefully they can transpire into something better than what they were. But Mason Rudolph feels like he is going to be the future guy.
Yeah, go ahead, Big D.
Let me just say, there's a pick that I was actually kind of surprised that he slipped as far as he did. And I think it's a huge win, especially with all the off the field drama that the Cowboys have had this last season with Dez Bryant and not, you know, trying to find, you know, pick up Allen Hurns. Michael Gallup from Colorado State.
Yeah.
Big receiver, fast, very, very good possession receiver, can make plays. This is a solid pickup for the Dallas Cowboys who looked after shedding Dez Bryant and kind of getting Allen Hurns, looked like they were going to lean more towards running. But this just says right here to me that the Cowboys are saying, hey, look, just because we got rid of Dez Bryant don't mean we're just going to run the football.
Right.
We're going to go out and we're going to get a big receiver who can make plays, and we're going to sign him to a contract that's affordable, and we're going to see what we can get out of this guy. I think it's a big pickup for the Cowboys. It's a big win for them.
Now, Austin, we got a Big D and I were able to give our favorite picks of the draft just a little bit ago before you called. Who was your favorite pick out of the entire draft?
Oh, man. I can't narrow that down right now. There are so many good picks in this draft, guys. Really, like, top to bottom, you can find a good draft pick in each and every round from each team. I can't narrow that down right now. There is just too many to pick.
No, not about what was a good pick. I mean, your favorite draft pick as far as, you know, he's going to be impactful right away. I can't wait to watch him on Sunday.
Same thing. There's so many to choose from. But, you know, I'm looking at my notes right now, and one guy that's really sticking out to me, and I'm surprised he lasted this long. And, he's a first-round draft pick, but that's what makes it even more special. And I'm going to talk about Calvin Ridley, receiver out of Alabama.
Yep.
He's going to the Atlanta Falcons. He's pairing up with Julio Jones. They lost Taylor Gabriel. You know, they still got Mohamed Sanu. But you know what? Calvin Ridley, he is a perfect route runner. He is precise on his running. He's a speedy guy. He's a little bit on the smaller side, but you know what? He's better than Taylor Gabriel. He's better than Mohamed Sanu. He's going to step in right away, and he's going to give that offense another duo between Julio and Kelvin. He's just going to give that offense another dynamic receiver and another dimension to use.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest here. I got to agree with you, Austin. I think that was going to be one of my slide picks in the first round. That's got to be one of the favorites because, like you said, Calvin Ridley was the consensus number one draft or wide receiver in this draft. You know, he's replacing Taylor Gabriel in the slot right now, but who's to say he's not going to be on the opposite side of Julio Jones? Now you got two Alabama wide receivers together. I've got, you know, Matt Ryan has to be excited after just the first round, you know, let alone the rest of the draft. But, yeah, I agree with you. Calvin Ridley is very exciting. Big D, you want to go ahead and tell them who you had picked?
You know, I picked Austin. I don't know if you heard me, but my favorite pick of the entire draft was in the first round as well. It was Mike McGlinchey by the by the San Francisco 49ers. They went out and they signed Jimmy Garoppolo to that big monster deal, and people were like, okay, now what?
Absolutely.
Then they go out and improve their offensive line by leaps and bounds with a guy like Mike McGlinchey, who is arguably probably the best, one of the best, if not the best offensive lineman available. That to me was just a win for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, and Austin, I had picked Saquon Barkley. I mean, to me, the Giants have lacked a run game for so long, and here they are with the best running back, quote unquote, the best running back in the draft. You've got to be excited for Giants fans and New York as far as with Saquon Barkley. Not to mention getting Will Hernandez in the second round to help Saquon Barkley is like just icing on the cake.
Absolutely, and I was going to mention, let's talk about the Giants for a second. They get the running back they want. Okay, well, let's just talk about the three players that they were projected to get, either Saquon Barkley, Quentin Nelson, or Bradley Chubb. So they get Saquon Barkley. Round two, they get Will Hernandez, which was arguably the second-best guard in the draft. And then it was the third round. They get Lorenzo Carter, a pass rusher, which is the quote-unquote Bradley Chubb. So they got all three of those positions in the first three rounds. They were all great value picks. Best of depth of their position in that round. I love it. They did awesome. They got two defensive tackles to add to that. They're big, big boys. And, you know, they like Davis well, but they're bringing him some competition in Kyle Uletta, quarterback out of Richmond. I expect one of those guys has to be the future of the team. The Giants, in my opinion, had one of the best draft classes in this draft.
I think they had the best draft class in this draft. I completely agree with you. You bring up Lorenzo Carter. Getting him in round three was a huge steal for the Giants. You know, like you said, they needed a pass rusher. Not to mention, I think getting a potential franchise guy in Kyle Laletta, again, great, great value for the Giants. And again, it was all throughout the entire draft, good value, great pick, solid pick, great pick, solid pick. I mean, And then like you guys said, Will Hernandez, first round draft pick or talent, first round talent. Goes into the second round. The Giants are like, we're not letting this go. We need to help save Barkley out in the run game. Boom, got him. Go ahead, Big D.
You know, one of the other draft classes I'm actually really excited about the Seattle Seahawks draft class.
Okay.
I'm a little leery of their first round draft pick, Rashad Penny. I do like him. I thought he was a second round talent.
Right.
But you look at the Seahawks, they didn't have a dynamic running game a season ago. They needed to get somebody that can help out Russell Wilson. They did that. They went out of their way to get some help on defense. They got Shaquem Griffin. They got Rasheem Green. And then they got themselves another big offensive lineman and a tight end to replace Jimmy Graham. I mean, they went out and they fulfilled some of their needs, some of their major needs, and that's what you want to do. I mean, they didn't have the sexiest picks in this draft, but they went out and they addressed some key positions that they needed help on, building towards the future. So we'll have to see how they develop. But I kind of like their draft.
I mean, as far as the Seahawks go, I won't say they had one of the best. I think it was a solid class.
I don't think it's one of the best, but I think it's good. It's underrated, I think.
Yeah, and I think like you said, Shaquem Griffin, I mean, everybody's talking about him. And let's get over the whole him being an inspiration and him only having one hand. Let's look at him as a football player. He is a heck of a football player. He's a fast guy. He's also a little heavier than his brother, who is a corner. I've really got to sit here and say, Shaquem Griffin looks like he's going to make an impact on the Seahawks right away. Not to mention, not even just linebacker. They're talking about trading Earl Thomas. They've been talking about that for a while now, and it still could happen. We've got 3-4 months till the regular season starts, so they could trade Earl Thomas. Shaquem Griffin he's a fast linebacker, so why not have him, like we talked about before, the linebacker-safety hybrid. And another player that nobody's talking about for some reason is Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers was very productive in college. The Seahawks got great value there. And Austin's right. A lot of almost every team, you look at their draft picks, it's like, man, that was a good pick.
But you know what? One of the things I will say about this draft class as a whole, I think it's an incredibly talented draft class as far as
yeah.
we had a lot of guys that were just – solid at their position. So you got to really like that.
Austin, we were talking about the Seahawks. You want to go ahead and comment on them real quick?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a very solid draft class. You know, you mentioned Trey Flowers. He's going to be a good safety for him, you know, after Earl Thomas and Chancellor, you know, have gone past their time. Rashad Penny, you know, I mentioned it. I think they could have maybe went back a little bit and still got him.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is. He definitely fits the Seahawks playing style. But the only thing, I'm looking at their class right now. I'm looking there, what is there, like 8, 9 picks. I'm looking at it, and the thing that sticks out to me is they drafted a punter before any offensive lineman. Russell Wilson was under fire, being chased all over the field. I know he's a fast guy, but you have to protect your franchise quarterback. I think they should have addressed offensive line earlier than what they should have. And it's just they drafted a punter before addressing it. That's the only thing that sticks out to me about their class. But other than that, I think it is a solid draft class, and I think it will bring some potential playmakers to them.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Austin. But the thing is that the Seahawks are going to, you know, rebuttal with your with you saying about them drafting offensive linemen is he did it just fine last year, and we went to the playoffs.
That's what I was going
to
say. Ted, I know you want to talk about some teams that did well in the draft.
Yeah.
You know another team I felt like did really well in this draft?
Go ahead.
The Denver Broncos.
Oh, my God.
I mean, when I looked at the Denver Broncos draft board, I was salivating. I mean, you get arguably the best bang for your buck pass rusher in coming into this draft. You get Bradley Chubb. Then you get Cortland Sutton.
Yeah.
Then you get Royce Freeman.
Real quick, as far as Cortland Sutton goes, one of these receivers are on notice now.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at the Denver Broncos receiving core. There was not a lot of productivity last season.
Right.
Cortland Sutton's going to come in. This guy's got talent.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to be out of there before this season's over.
And it's what's funny is, as Austin and I were talking about that yesterday, I said I honestly could see Emmanuel Sanders being the one getting booted because of his injury problem.
Yeah.
As of late.
But then you look at the rest of this draft class. The Broncos, they made their bread and butter on defense a season ago, and they double dipped this season. They got some more defense. They got Josie Jewell, obviously Bradley Chubb, but then they went out, they got some help on the offensive line and Sam Jones. I mean, all the way around, top to bottom, this is a solid draft class. Not to mention the fact they got two quality running backs, and their running game was atrocious a season ago.
Yep.
So you got to know there's going to be some guys getting the boot on that as well.
Oh yeah. Austin, how do you feel about the Broncos?
The thing I like about their draft class is, yeah, they got Bradley Chubb. The thing that I really like about it is they committed to Case Keenum and they brought him weapons. They got Cortland Sutton. They got a potential franchise running back in Royce Freeman. And the guy I really like is they got Deshaun Hamilton out of Penn State, who is their leading receiver in the franchise, I believe. So they gave Case Keenum weapons and they're committing to him. I like it.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
I felt like Case Keenum was sitting back real comfortable over there in John Elway's office. And he was like, listen, we're gonna take care of you. we're taking care of you.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah, you know, this to me was one of the best draft classes simply because you look at what the Broncos needed and they just, boom, hit it out of the park. I mean, they put so many of their players on notice. And when we talk about, you talked about teams. You remember at the end of the year, John Elway said there were going to be changes. He said the last season was unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Yep.
So you look at this draft class, there's got to be some very nervous guys in the locker room right now for the Denver Broncos. And if they aren't nervous, they better be.
Well, and I got another team here that I think had a very solid draft class, and I'll bring them up right now. The Atlanta Falcons. Like we said, talking about Calvin Ridley, but then they got another cornerback to help with their pass defense, and alongside of Desmond Trufant, they got Isaiah Oliver, another great pickup for him. And then the defensive lineman, Deidre Sennett, that's going to help their D-line. They didn't
just
have –
get it out of the way, Ted. You know why you're excited about the Atlanta Falcons. They got Ito Smith.
You know, that was probably their best value pick. But, I mean, you know, they only had 5 draft picks to address issues in the, this offseason, this draft. And as far as I'm concerned, they did a great job. And when we talked about them trading Tevin Coleman earlier, they do that, they get another draft pick for next year. I mean, kudos to the Falcons. I mean, they're going to stay competitive, not in just the NFC South, but in the NFC in general.
I gotta go ahead. See what our buddy Austin likes draft class wise.
I gotta agree. I like the Falcons, man. Their draft class good. You know, they bring in Calvin Ridley for. Opposite of Julio Jones. Isaiah Oliver is – I thought he was going to go in the first round. That dude is a stud. They finally get a corner opposite of Desmond Trufant. You know, their biggest need was defensive tackle. They get a starter caliber in the third round. That is great. Ito Smith is going to be, you know, their next Tevin Coleman. And then Russell Gage, this guy sticks out to me. A lot of scouts believe he was better than DJ Chark, and they get him late in the draft. So I like that pick. That's going to add solid depth to them. And, you know, they just had a solid draft class up and down. So I got to agree with that. That is a very good draft class.
Go ahead, Big D.
Let me bring in a draft class that I felt like surprised me, Ted.
Go ahead.
Surprised me. The Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Surprised me. We talked about Newsom wanting to, you know, go out on a high note, draft, have that solid class, because we know he's out of there.
Yes.
This is it. This is his last draft class. First round. Shocking. They get Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson in the first round. So Flacco isn't thinking about that restructuring of that big boy contract. He's probably on his way out. If they can't negotiate that, then you look at the fact that the Ravens offensive line struggled last year. They got Orlando Brown. They went out and got Greg Sennett, another big offensive lineman. They got Bradley Bozeman, big offensive lineman, addressing your needs. And then they went out and they got two receivers in this draft class.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The Ravens have found good offensive linemen in the past. And for them to get Orlando Brown, who was considered a first-round talent before his combine, and then to get him in the third was a big deal. His combine was very poor, obviously.
Yeah.
We talked about that many times on the show. But let's be honest here. If there's a team that could translate him into be a good, productive O-lineman in the NFL, it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens for sure. That's one of the teams. So I'm very excited to see him play as a Raven. But let's be honest here. The Baltimore Ravens – trading back into the first round with the Philadelphia Eagles to get the 32nd pick overall in the draft.
And get Lamar Jackson.
This puts Joe Flacco on notice, guys. This tells Joe Flacco you've had 19 starts. The last 19 starts, you have had a 300-yard game over – you haven't had more than 300 yards in passing. We haven't had a top-10 offense since 1997. If you don't produce, we're going to move on from you. And see, that's the thing is people said, I actually had a Baltimore Raven just yesterday. Actually, they said, you really think that they'll move on from Flacco? That's why they drafted Lamar in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, people, don't sleep on this pick because Lamar Jackson produced more yards than almost any other player in this draft on offense. He's one of the highest producing offensive players in this draft class. I mean, he's a solid rusher, solid passer.
Yeah.
This is a guy that can make plays. And quite frankly, he has something that Flacco doesn't have. Flacco is a sitting duck in the pocket. Lamar Jackson's not. He's a dynamic player. And while that doesn't often always translate well to the NFL, you look at their draft class, they got Lamar Jackson, then they go out and they get three offensive linemen. It's pretty clear. They've got three offensive linemen, and they're telling Flacco, look, we give you help. We got you receivers, and if you don't produce this season, it's just like Ted said, you don't produce, we got your replacement.
Standby. Well, and you talked about Lamar Jackson being as productive. He was in college. He had more rushing yards in his career at Louisville than Saquon Barkley did at Penn State.
Yeah.
I put that up on my Facebook. I had a guy say, well, he always has the ball in his hand because he's the quarterback. Well, no. It's not about that. It's about he is a playmaker because he didn't just rush.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He didn't just get the ball in his hand and rush the football or run with the football. He threw. And he knows he's a quarterback. He's one heck of a playmaker. Now, is there questions about he needs to fit a certain scheme and all that? Sure, of course.
He's not a
perfect passer. Of course not. But the thing is they got a playmaker. And that's what the Ravens needed on offense. Because let me tell you something. The Ravens' defense is good, but the offense needed a spark. And this is a spark that the Ravens needed and will use. Austin, your thoughts on the Ravens and draft in general and Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, you guys made all the good points about Lamar Jackson. You know, they're just going to bring a dynamic player to their quarterback position, you know, when he eventually starts. Who knows if it's going to be this year or next, but, you know, he eventually will start for this team. But one guy that I think is very underrated in their draft class is Kenny Young, middle linebacker out of UCLA.
Yeah.
You know, UCLA, they have kind of been producing linebackers left and right. You know, you got to mention Miles Jack. You got to mention Anthony Barr. And he is that type of running back. He can follow running backs. He can cover tight ends. So I think his versatility is going to be nothing but beneficial for the Ravens, especially when you got to play Le'Veon Bell and all the other running backs in that division. So I like that pick a lot. And then Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews. This team has been lacking tight ends left and right, and they get two of the top five in their draft class.
Yes.
Guys, Ravens did awesome.
Yeah, I got to say here, Hayden Hurst to me was the one that stood out as far as tight ends. But you're right, Austin. They got two out of the top five. But Hayden Hurst, even though he's a little older, he was still very productive as a receiving threat in the tight end position. Benjamin Watson's not
there.
He's a man. They haven't had a good tight end.
I mean, you know, he has. They haven't had a good tight end, receiving tight end, in a while now. The Ravens need offensive playmakers, like we've been talking about, and they got another one
there. They got two tight ends. They got two wide receivers. And let's not forget their offense. It's getting their defense is getting a little bit, a little seasoned.
Right.
They went out and they reloaded in a couple of positions where they're getting a little seasoned. They got safety. They got themselves a corner. They got themselves another linebacker.
Right.
So I mean, this is a very solid top to bottom draft class for the Ravens. I mean. If they're not a better team this season, there's going to be a massive change for the Ravens. Because this was a very, very intense draft for the Ravens. They went out and they were very calculated on this.
Oh, for sure. I completely agree with you. What was that, Big D? Or Austin?
I got to go here soon. I just want to mention three players before I go. All right?
Sure.
Okay. The first one, and then you guys can talk about it after I go, but the first one is linebacker out of Virginia, Micah Kizer. He's the middle linebacker for the Rams now. I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
I think he can compete for the starting job for the Mike position with Mark Barron. I really like him. I think he can do good things with that defense, especially with their defensive coordinator. I'm blanking on his name right now. Old Cowboys coach. Can't think of his name.
Wade Phillips,
thank you so much. I think he's going to turn him – he's the type of player Wade Phillips likes. He can turn him into something, I think. I really like that pick. Another one, Buccaneers, they drafted Carlton Davis, end of the second round. You know, I mentioned before, I thought the Panthers were going to take him because they need a big corner to go up against the Julio Jones, the Mike Evans, and all that. Well, guess what? Tampa got him, and now Tampa's going to have the big corner that they need to go up against the Julio Jones, the Mike Thomas, and now the DJ Moores of the world in their division. So I really like that pick as well. And then the last one, Big D, you're going to like this. Receiver out of Notre Dame. I can never pronounce his first name right. Equanimeous St. Brown. He is a big guy. He's a massive threat. You know, you guys have smaller, speedy, versatile guys. He's going to add a big red zone threat for you guys, in my opinion. And I just like the pick for Green Bay, especially with Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham. He's going to be a very underrated asset for you guys.
Austin, real quick, can you confirm that Alex Carrington is calling in today?
I messaged him, you know, a friendly reminder yesterday. He hasn't said anything. I gave him the call-in number. So I told him 10 o'clock. We'll see what happens. I'm checking my LinkedIn right now to see if he has responded.
Okay.
It does not look like he has responded, so we'll see what happens. If I hear anything, I will let you guys know.
Yeah, go ahead and text me, man. We'll have the phone right here beside us. But, yeah, we'll keep talking some draft talk. And we appreciate you coming on, man, and we will talk to you next Sunday. Obviously, Austin, next Sunday, you and I will be gearing up for Florida.
Yes, sir. So I will be there in studio.
Yeah, that's right. You'll be in studio. So, all right, man. We'll see you then.
All right. Later, guys.
See you, man. Now, Big D, Austin brings up, you know, he brought up your team with the wide receiver that they selected out of Notre Dame. Now, we've talked about this before. J.R. Alexander, he's a 5'10 guy, but he's a speedster guy. He's the speed that you guys needed on defense. And then I said one of my favorite value picks was Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
Because he was projected first round, didn't go, and he was projected by many people to go to you guys in the first round. So he went to you guys.
Second round.
But the second round. You guys got two top first round corners in this draft class.
Right.
You got another big time receiver. You guys had the most picks in this draft. You want to talk about reloading? Nice job, Big D. Way to go, Packers.
You know, the thing that I like the most about our draft, we got the corners we needed, but we got linebacker help. And that really stood out to me.
Yeah.
The Packers really struggled at the linebacker position a season ago, and they're not getting any younger at that position. So it's good solid pickups. Equanimeous St. Brown's good receiver. He's the kind of guy that Aaron Rodgers has needed. A big guy, go out and catch football. And, I mean, with the loss of Jordy Nelson, things are looking up.
Right.
Looking up a little bit.
So you're definitely going to be loving on this class.
I like the class. I would have liked to have seen us, improve the shore of offensive line a little bit more. But, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers can outrun everybody. I don't know.
I'll tell you, another team that, I mean, really, I don't want to say really stood out to me, but I thought did very well with the Miami Dolphins, especially in the first two rounds.
I see that.
Getting Minkah Fitzpatrick to help the back end of the football, and then getting Gesicki in the second round. Yeah, I've got to say, I'm very happy with that. And then not to mention, you look at the third round,
Jerome Baker out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
He was a solid, solid linebacker for the Buckeyes. Coming in here with the Dolphins, we've talked about so much that they need a lot of help on at the linebacking core. And then, of course, getting your boy, running back, Kalen Ballage. I love this a lot.
You know, I like their draft class. What I like the most about it, I do like the fact that they got Kalen Ballage. He's a tremendous playmaker,
right?
Rushing, passing all the way around, good blocker. But what I like is that the Dolphins went out, they got two tight ends.
Yeah.
They needed help at that position. They have not been able to stay healthy at that position,
right.
Keep anybody there. It's really become a very important position in
yeah.
the NFL. And the fact that they went out and addressed that really, really stands out to me.
And we've talked about how we feel like they needed to address the offensive line.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins have come out and said that, you know, they're happy with their O-line right now.
Yeah,
they're sticking
that.
With it. And, you know, to me, it's clear that they are committed to that. You know,
yeah.
they like their O-line. They didn't select any O-linemen.
I really wish they would have gotten themselves another guard.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Right.
I think that would have helped them. But, you know, that's their thing.
Yeah. Another team, like you said, I think you had mentioned this before, Big D. Did we talk about the Dallas Cowboys draft class?
We touched on a few. We talked about that. You know, you want to talk about a team – that they came into this draft and they had a plan.
Yeah.
And the plan was clear. We have a good offense. It's time to get that other side of the ball working proper. A couple years, you know, years ago, the Cowboys defense was stellar.
Right.
You know, they had some pretty stout pass rushers, and really what they lacked was offense. Now they have the opposite problem. They've got a solid offense,
right.
And they don't have they didn't have quite as many defenses. They sneakily had a good defense last
yeah.
year, but you know, not as good as it should have been, in my opinion.
Right.
And not as good as it needed to be for them to get to the playoffs. So the fact that they've got Leighton Vander Esch in the first round, I mean,
yeah, not. Leighton Vander Esch. I mean, I want to hit on that real quick because the Cowboys
yes.
linebacking core is almost always hurt. There's always something wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
Getting this guy who has had, you know, some injury troubles, you know, whatever. But this kid is mean. He is fast and he is physical. He's going to bring a lot of physicality to this Dallas Cowboys defense. I'm very excited to see what he can do for them. Not to mention, their second-round pick to me was awesome. Connor Williams, who's from Dallas, went to the University
went
of
Austin.
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
didn't
is now a Cowboys.
Didn't
yeah.
go far.
He's home. He's always
yeah.
been home.
But, you know, what I really like, and these are some of the things that I really like, there's a couple picks in the Cowboys draft that I think people were like, well, you know, I've heard people say, why did we do that? Like, what
right.
is that? But these picks are sneaky good picks.
Right.
Okay? Dorrance Armstrong Jr. I talked about. But you know what is another sneaky good pick is Chris Covington from the University of Indiana, outside linebacker. This guy can get it.
Right.
He can get after people.
Right.
He's aggressive. He's part of a much improved, highly vaunted defense for Indiana, which was the bright spot up for their team a season ago. And then you look at the fact that they went out and they got two more receivers, and it looks like they've selected the successor to Jason Witten in Dalton Schultz from Stanford.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
Possibly. So,
we'll see.
I mean, they knew that was going to be a thing. But, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I really like this draft class. The Mike White pick was one that I kind of shook my head on. That's
right.
Not the only pick they had. Western Kentucky's quarterback. Only pick I had that I was kind of like, I don't really understand
why
they picked that. But.
I mean, Luke McCown retired, you know, so
yeah.
he was their third stringer. You know, right now, like you said, White isn't
yeah.
a big deal, but yeah. I got another draft class that I'm excited to see, and it's mainly because of their first-round pick, and
yeah.
that's the L.A. Chargers.
Oh.
You know, when Eric Weddle left the L.A. Chargers, you know, it left a huge gap. Derwin James is
the
a playmaker. And for him to fall to number 17 was an absolute steal for the L.A. Chargers. I love it. Can't wait to see what happens here.
We got to talk to Derwin soon.
Yeah, we got to bring Derwin back on the show, guys. We definitely will. We hit it very briefly for a second. But the Cincinnati Bengals, last year, we ran those guys down
yeah.
bad,
I mean,
a bunch of dogs.
Their draft class last year was,
And what they did off
wow.
in the offseason, we were just, you know, we just didn't like it at all. And now – you look at the Bengals, they drafted a center, Billy Price. Then they got a safety in Jesse James. Then they got a defensive lineman in Sam Hubbard, a productive linebacker from Texas, Malik Jefferson.
Yep.
Then they got another running back, Mark Walton. You know, all these guys could contribute right away. But I think the main thing is they went, they had a 12th pick in the draft.
Mm.
Then they traded that to the Bills for Cordy Glenn, starting left tackle for the Bills. and only moved down, what, 10 spots?
Yeah.
9 spots.
And still, let's not forget, they listened. They went out, and they still addressed their offensive line.
Exactly.
I mean, I know they waited till the 7th round. Rod Taylor's pretty good offensive lineman, though, out of Ole Miss. I mean, I know they waited a while.
Right.
But they had a lot of needs.
Well, and you look at it, you get Cordy Glenn on the tackle, at the tackle position. That he's obviously their starting guy at left tackle. Now you look at Billy Price as the center. He's honestly going to be the starting center come fall.
And arguably the best one in this draft class.
Yeah, it is between him and James Daniels.
Yeah.
So you look at that, I got to sit here and say, even though, you know, I was very critical of the Bengals getting Billy Price because of his injury, but still, one of the, you know, arguably the best center in this draft class, staying in Ohio, you got to pay the big boys the big bucks, Big D.
You do, and one of the things I really like about the Bengals draft class is they didn't play it quite as reserved as I thought they would.
Right.
They didn't make a lot of sexy picks early on, but then you start looking at some of these guys and their production in college, and you got to be pretty optimistic for the Bengals. I mean, you know, you talk about turning it around. The Bengals have made it clear, you know, they're gonna be a better team this season. I think they will be.
Yeah, I mean. So another team that we're going to bring up is, you know, state of the AFC North is my Pittsburgh Steelers. We talked about Mason Rudolph for a little bit. Everybody's – when they went safety in Terrell Edmonds, everybody's talking about that. Why did they go Eric Reed, you know, yada, yada, yada?
Justin Reed, you mean?
Justin Reed. Eric Reed's his brother in the NFL.
Yeah, Eric, sorry.
Excuse me.
NFL, yeah.
But why didn't they go Justin Reed from Stanford? I think I know what they're doing. I think I have an idea what the Steelers are doing. And I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet. I'm not saying they haven't. I just haven't heard it yet. Terrell Edmonds is an inch taller and 9 pounds lighter than Ryan Shazier. Just almost as fast. I think they could be looking at making him a middle linebacker and not a safety. Because then they drafted, you look at their draft, they drafted Marcus Allen later on. I think it was round 5 maybe. Round 5. So they got the safety from Penn State. Who could very well step in, and in my opinion, is going to be better than Mike Mitchell right away, and possibly J.J. Wilcox. So, I think the Steelers are being really sneaky with this pick, and nobody's really paying attention to that. I could be wrong. They could make him a safety and just keep him there. But
it
makes sense.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit shocked that the Steelers drafted Mason Rudolph. That was one that I kind of thought. I mean, there were other quarterbacks on board.
I think for me,
I kind of felt lukewarm about the pick. I was just like, okay, yeah.
I think what made it spicy was the pick before, James Washington.
I do like James Washington pickup, but one of the guys I really like is Chukwuma Okorafor.
The tackle.
Yeah. One thing that's kind of, you know, the offensive line for the Steelers was better last year than recent years. I mean, it's the AFC North.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries happen, especially along the line.
Well, and we've got Alejandro Villanueva on the left side, and we got Marcus Gilbert on the right side. Marcus Gilbert has been known to get hurt.
Yeah.
So this pick to me was a good depth.
This is a good depth pick for the Steelers. And not to mention, you know, you mentioned the safety pick. You get two safeties. The safety position is one of those positions where a lot of guys that play safety, they can rotate the corner or linebacker if need be. So a lot of these guys do now. So
yeah.
I like the pickups for the Steelers. You know, a typical Steelers draft class, you know, pretty much. You know, not really setting the world on fire, but, you know, they tend to get value out of
getting the job. As far as James Washington goes, something I was listening to about that kid is, he's not that tall. But I guess his arms are as long, if not longer, than defensive linemen.
Yeah,
and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, James is a very talented receiver. He's got a lot. He's got great extension when jumping out from balls because of his arms. So this could be a very solid receiver.
Now, I want to make sure about this about James Washington, so I'm looking this up real quick because I'm almost positive, but I want to make sure before I say yes, so I'm just going to go over this real fast. Yes, that's what I thought. Last year he won the Biletnikoff Award, which is the nation's top wide receiver.
Yeah.
And you got him in the 2nd round.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another good value pick.
When
I actually was reading somewhere where they gave the Steelers a C last year, and then they changed it to B+ this year, you know what I mean? For last year's draft at the time when they, you know, got the picks, they said, oh, this is a C class or C+, and then it'd be, after the season, it was a B+. This year, it's the same thing. They gave him a solid C. after this season, we could be looking at another, you know, hey, we gave him a seat right after the draft, but look at what the production, you know.
One team I want to talk about who I think made some noise in the draft this season, and people weren't paying enough attention to them, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, they were not playing around in this draft class, okay? The first thing they went out of their way to do is get Vita Vea, possibly one of the best defensive linemen just in general. He's played multiple positions along the defensive line, big guy.
Yeah.
They play against some of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL, and they went out and they got a guy that not only can stuff the run but can get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? First round, they get him, and then they lost Doug Martin. What do? They go out and they get another smash-mouth running back in Ronald Jones, and then they double-dip with two corners. Now, I know M.J. Stewart's a little short. He's on the short side. But Carlton Davis got a lot of talent. M.J. Stewart's got a lot of passes defended. I mean, you address one of your top needs double-dipping. I like it. I'm a big fan of that.
Well, and the thing is, you know, you look at Vita Vea, come to find out, you know, when they're at pick seven, their top player that they had on their board was Vita Vea.
Yeah.
And then they trade back to pick 12.
And still get him.
And still get him. Good job.
And then not only that, but when they trade back, they're able to get some quality picks. They didn't have a lot of picks coming into this draft.
Right.
And they're able to get another offensive tackle. They got themselves Jordan Whitehead from Pittsburgh, good safety. I mean, solid draft class from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think the one that I didn't like the most was honestly Ronald Jones. I think for me,
I know a lot of people weren't fans.
I like him as far as a player, and he was one of the more productive pieces on that USC offense. But at the same time, there was injury concerns there.
Yeah.
He is a dynamic playmaker. I would have liked to have seen him go on a different running back, but it's already happened.
Yeah.
I can't change that, but it's still they addressed the running back issue. That's what you need to look at. And yes, this is a very solid draft class with the Buccaneers. I got to agree with you, Big D. I haven't seen anybody call in yet. We're at 10 minutes past 10. Listen, guys, if they don't call in, I think really we've hit a lot of teams here and talked a lot of draft classes. If he doesn't call in about 5 or 10 more minutes, we're just going to cut it off and see you guys next Sunday. So,
if you guys have any questions,
questions, anything.
About your team specifically, I mean, we won't get too terribly in-depth about it.
You're right.
Sometimes I don't understand ESPN's rating system.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
Draft class,
it is what it is. That's why we do our own.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at some of these teams, you're like, this gets a C?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And I'll be honest here. So the Philadelphia Eagles did a solid job. They did well. But I think can you pull up the Eagles for me real quick? I can't remember his name off the top of my head because it was later round.
Yep. Can do.
Scroll down real quick. It would have been the
Sweat.
Yep. Defensive end from Florida State. So when I saw them draft him, I was talking to Austin. Obviously, we were watching the draft. I was talking to him, and I told him, I said, "Wow, you guys really needed another defensive end. You've got like 5, 6 of them that are all really good." more depth, and him and I were kind of chuckling about it. And he was actually at that pick. At that point, he was wanting the Eagles to go get Shaquem Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, didn't happen. And then right away, the next round, the Seahawks went and got him. So I could tell Austin, that's who he wanted, but it is what it is there. He's going to, root for his team no matter what. But to me, you go get enough defensive ends, pass rushers now. It just didn't make sense.
It's the Eagles.
Yeah.
Eagles. Okay. They don't have to make sense. They're the Eagles.
I will say a draft class that disappointed me, it all started with the first round pick, the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions and Frank Ragnow.
That was a C minus for me.
When they was first drafted, I remember saying, okay, good pick. But then I'm thinking, no, James Daniels is still on the board. Billy Price is still on the board. I got to sit here and look at that and go.
Well, and, their second-round pick didn't impress me. Kerryon Johnson?
He's okay.
There were better running backs on board if you needed a running back, though.
He was okay.
I mean, their draft class really puzzled me.
I mean, they did okay. I'm giving them a solid C, if not a C-minus right now.
I'm giving them a C-minus, especially when they had, they had the chance to go out and address, the playmaker issues that they had.
Right. And we've got Detroit Lions fans that tune into us all the time. So, Lions fans, we apologize. Not trying to dog on your team.
I don't apologize.
It is what it is. We can only do so much.
I can only show so much love.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But, again, the Lions, they weren't one of my favorites. You know, this article right here actually gives the Seattle Seahawks
a D.
Yeah, and to me, I'm not saying it was good.
I want
to
give it a C.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give them a little bit better than a D.
C plus maybe.
I mean, yes, and their big reasoning is Rashad Penny in the first round, and I agree that was a huge
reach.
But they don't have a run game. They needed a run game. If they feel like this guy is their guy, these teams are going to go after him. No matter what these experts say.
And my other thing with that is we don't know what we don't always know what's being talked about. You know, as far as running backs go, we don't know what other teams are saying. You know, we might be going to get this guy. You know, there's other teams. You know, the Seahawks might have felt like this guy's potentially one of the best running backs in this class.
Yeah,
and we got to get him now. We're not gonna have a chance to get him later.
You know, and that's what I was getting to was, you know, you look at this, all the running backs were here. And we talked about the Nick Chubbs, the Sony Michels, the Saquon Barkleys. You know, we talked about all those guys. And Penny didn't get tossed to the wayside, but he kind of did because there were so many running backs.
Yeah.
But this could be one of those drafts or this one of these draft picks where, everybody said, this was a reach. And then come to find out next year, it was not a reach.
And, I mean, it's entirely possible. But, you know, one thing I do want to talk about, Ted, before we go, how crazy did things get after the Buffalo Bills snatched Josh Allen?
Yeah.
I mean, things just started to snowball from there. We started seeing trade after trade after trade.
Yeah.
I mean, it just changed the whole nature of the draft.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, anyways, this article also gave the New Orleans Saints a D as well.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get to that later. Make sure no one's called in. No one has.
Nobody's called in.
So, you know, again, guys, we're going to wait maybe five more minutes to make sure that he you know, Alex Carrington calls in. But if not, we're going to let it be at that. And move on from there. But anyways, you know, we've talked about quite a few teams. We haven't given our draft grade, you know, obviously that's coming up. But a lot of teams did really well. And the Houston Texans was another team that I thought just did pretty darn well. You know, they started out in the third round, like Austin said, and just started going ham from there.
Yeah, the Texans just crushed it. I mean, you talk about the team that the Texans already have on the field.
Yeah.
Let's not even beat around the bush.
Yeah.
If DeSean Jackson and J.J. Watt don't go down last season, I mean, the AFC South is pretty different.
You mean DeSean Watson?
DeSean Watson. J.J. Watt was hurt, too.
Right. You said DeSean Jackson.
DeSean Watson. DeSean Watson and
the other DeSean.
And J.J. Watt going down a season ago really hurt the Texans. And I think, you know, with those two guys on the team, this team is not – as bad as their record showed.
Well, and the Houston Texans knocked this draft class out of the park from their first pick right away.
Yeah.
Justin Reed was considered to be a first-round pick. A lot of teams had him going to the Steelers, you know, at 28.
Yeah.
He falls to round three. The Houston Texans do not wait. They got Tyrann Mathieu on the other side of safety. Good job.
Win. And then one of the things that I really liked was that they shored up their defense. They got Isaiah Okafor from Wake Forest. They got Kellen Baye from Stanford, and they got Jermaine Kelly. I mean, they hit it out of the park. They got themselves two new tight ends. So, you know, hopefully giving DeSean Watson some more people to throw to.
Right.
And solid draft class in the Texans. I mean, when you talk about you've got to nail the picks out of the park, Houston knew what they had to do. They got it done.
Okay, so Elliot Harrison of NFL.com has this listed on here. Best pick from day one, he said Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold was not the best pick of day one. The best pick of day one, and this is not just me throwing Darnold hate. The best pick of day one was arguably probably Saquon Barkley and the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants had basically nothing in their backfield for running. They had no running backs, really.
Right.
They went out and got the best bang for your buck. They got the best one available. And then from there, we saw some very solid picks. You know, I mentioned Mike McGlinchey. I thought that was a tremendous pick. But when you look at the day one picks, Sam Darnold is not, in my opinion, the best pick of day one.
Now, he says the best pick of day two was Justin Reed. And I kind of have to agree with that a little bit. I do. Justin Reed picked in the third round by the Houston Texans, and
I think that might be.
That's definitely going to be up there.
That's a solid one. I'll give him that. That's solid.
And then he says best pick day three was Ian Thomas, tight end. by the Carolina Panthers.
What round would that be? Five?
100 first overall, probably round four.
Round four.
Somewhere around there.
Take a look. I don't remember. Yeah, Ian Thomas.
All he did was pick the first pick in the fourth round.
What, I mean, what is that? I disagree with that. I disagree. You know what? I think let me get down in here. I saw somebody I liked. Where'd he go? You know, I disagree. I don't think that's the best pick because they'd already gotten somebody for that position. The Panthers did. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say it. The best pick from that day was Maurice Hurst. I think
very well could
be. In my opinion, the Raiders had a massive need on the defensive line.
Yeah,
they got potentially one of the best defensive linemen in the draft. He slid to the fifth round.
Yeah, I mean,
they got him second in the fifth round, and you know the guy was hugely popular, successful when he played. He's going to give the Raiders a big boost. I think that's the best pick of that day.
Now this is drafts. Team draft classes that has them worried.
Okay.
The Oakland Raiders is one, which, okay, you know, a little bit. The Buffalo Bills, okay. He says he's on the fence of having him worried. He says the Cleveland Browns, which maybe. Then he says the New York Giants.
No.
And I got to be honest, the New York Giants, in my opinion, had the best draft class. I'm serious. To me, it was home run, home run, home run. I mean, they just – did a great job.
They hit everything.
I have no idea where he came up with these guys being on the fence about having a worrisome draft class.
And then he says the Dallas Cowboys had a worrisome draft class.
They did well.
They did well. But I disagree with being worrisome with the Giants. I think far and away the Giants probably did have the best draft class. I mean, they got the guy that everybody thought was going to go number one.
Right.
They got a solid quarterback of the future. And then they addressed all their other – they addressed that beat-up defensive line. They addressed the offensive line a little bit. I mean, I think the Giants nailed it.
Yeah, I just – you know, listen, Harrison, I would like to have you call on the show so we can talk about your – what you've decided here.
I don't know what you're thinking, but
anyways, checking it one more time. Nobody's called. So, listen, guys, we're going to go ahead and get off of here. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Please like and share the video. Comment, all that good stuff. We will see you guys next Sunday at 9 a.m. Take care, guys.